about living a long and prosperous life. And so many times there are messages like that, and people flock when you start preaching about that. If I would have advertised I'm going to be preaching this morning on how to have a long and prosperous life, I think we might have filled this place up. But I don't do that. I let God lead you as to whether you're here or not. I do believe that at times God leads me to such messages because I see in people's lives certain needs, and God points out certain needs, and He instructs me as to what I should share with you. Now, I don't even know why I'm preaching this the way I'm preaching this. As a matter of fact, have you ever had something you wanted to share with someone? And not all of you are preachers, but and you go, why do you want me to tell them that? And you really don't know why. But God's laid it on your heart to share. So that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm being obedient, and I don't quite understand, but I feel like there's someone here, maybe more than one or two, that God is really wanting this message to touch your heart and to change your perspective, and to understand that in this perspective, there is truly a long life and prosperity. How many of you have ever driven to church on a Sunday morning and looked out and seen all the people jogging? I call them joggers for Jesus. That's their religion. They're jogging out there to get healthy and to stay alive and to live long. And I got news for them. There's a little place called a church right down the road where you can find a lot of strength, and you can find a lot of healing, and you can find a lot of long life if you go there. And then I love to go to service stations before I come to church and get me some coffee and look at the lineup for the cards. The $10 cards and the $5 cards, and the lottery just is doing, it booms on Sunday morning. And I sit there and go, why don't you go down to the church? If you just might hit the lottery this Sunday in the church. It's the world is looking, but they're not looking, they're looking in all the wrong places. It's not there. It's with the Lord and in the house of the living God. Now, I want to begin this message by saying this. There is a fabric this great nation is made from. It is a fabric which was knit together by men who were not perfect, but had a perfect vision given them by God to build this great nation. This fabric is invested in an idea prescribed within what we call the Constitution of the United States, and spelled out more specifically in what we call the Bill of Rights. This nation was built also by the people, a people who had a common value and a common sense of respect for all mankind, but with a structure where all men could achieve according to their own efforts and their own will, given the freedom to do so, all covered by a morality of law invested in a respect and an honor for the word of the living God. To follow this is the key to America's prosperity and longevity. But listen to this word I have for you today. When that nation loses its honor and respect for God, or His word, or those He has chosen to lead and direct, then that nation will lose its prosperity and will die. Real simple, not a big thing. As Rome fell when it lost its respect and honor for its rulership, its laws, and its government, when a handful of senators, in front of all the other senators, decided it was going to destroy its leader, and they killed Julius Caesar. You know that story. That's when the downfall of Rome began, when they began to destroy their leadership. That's not what I'm preaching on this morning, but I want you to understand that's a sign. There's a sign in our nation today that I have a great concern about, and that is the dishonor and disrespect that people have for who God is using to protect us. There's a great dishonor in America today, I think, for policemen. A disrespect. Where'd that come from? Well, we can say, well, this incident or that incident. Wait a minute. Began long before that. Disrespect for the mayor or the governor or the president. Just an absolute disrespect. I want you to understand that as America could fall if its disrespect and dishonor continues, so too you and I, our families, even our churches can fall if there's not honor and respect for what? For God, His laws and His edicts for us, His direction in our lives, and those that are in leadership. This morning, I want you to understand that what I went back and found, Ronald Reagan said it when he was leaving office, this is what he said: freedom is never more than one generation away from eradication. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on to them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. And I want you to know, I just retired as a school teacher in May. And my last years, I would tell the kids how it was when I was a kid and the freedoms we had as children, and they were amazed. I'd get on my bicycle at 10 o'clock at night and go uptown and ride through town, and they'd look at me and go, "You did what?" Sure. And we left our doors open at night, just had the screen door up. We didn't even lock our screen doors. "You did that?" So it's already beginning. I would feel worse, though, if you were to look at your own family and say, "We used to have a close tie. We used to have a lot of love in our family." And our children look at us and go, "What? What was that like?" "Oh, we honored and respected our parents." "Well, what was that like?" When the parents said something, the kids listened. "What? You mean kids actually listened to their parents?" There's a scripture verse I want us all to focus on this morning. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. It'll be on the screen up here, but I'd like for you to see it in your own books, your own Bibles. "Honor your father and your mother so that your way, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Let me say that again. "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your father, the Lord God, is giving you." I believe, and I'm going to make this statement, then I'm going to give the proof text for it. I believe honor and respect that is lost in a nation will cause that nation to fall. Honor and respect lost out of family will cause that family to fall. Honor and respect that is lost in the church, that church will fall. Honor and respect that is lost in a community, that community will go through dissemination. But where does honor and respect begin in a child's life? It begins in the home. Why do we see what we do in America? I believe it's because we have a lot of disrespect in our homes. I remember telling my wife one day, I came home from school, and I looked at her and I said, this kid had his parents come, and this is what he said in front of the whole school to his parents. I can't even remember what it was, but it was very disrespectful. And my wife looked at me and said, that boy would not have, if I'd have been his parents, wouldn't have gone home with his teeth. But we've come to an age where we no longer, as parents, demand respect and honor from our children. Because somehow that's been taught us, I guess. There's something wrong with that. First of all, I want you to understand what in this scripture, what was this that I just read? It was, yes, honor your parents. What was it? Commandment. By the way, it was written in stone. When God wrote stuff in stone, it means this is not going to die. This is not going to be changed. Society should not change this. It will be this way forever. As high a priority as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the earth. Those who do not do that will find their lives falling apart, their marriages falling apart, their home falling apart, their country falling apart. Nowhere here does it say, honor your father and your mother if they deserve it. When your father and mother get their act together, you can honor them. No. And I think some parents, hear me, listen. Some parents, because they make mistakes, or they're not really great parents at times, think that because of that, they shouldn't demand respect from their children. It's written in stone. We are to expect honor and respect from our children. We're to not only expect it, we're to discipline and enact it. Now, I'm not talking about walking around with a hammer and every time they do something, you hit them on the head. Or every time they give you one of those ugly looks, you smack them in the face. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not violence. It's simple respect. You know, I've always been amazed, and I want to tell you this is the truth. I've always been amazed at families that come, children who come from China, and whatever you think of the Chinese right now because of the virus or whatever. The Chinese children would not dare say anything against their parents. They don't even make a face lest they find themselves in bad trouble. I know this because I have taught a lot of Chinese students in my school. So what is the difference here in America and in other places? And I want you to understand, here in America, there have been changes that have not been for our good in the homes. And I'd say the majority of homes that we need to relook at and we need to revisit, especially in the church, especially at families in the church. Their home should be a home where the children respect and honor their parents. When? Till they die, and even long after. Some of you have parents that are deceased. Should we still honor and respect our parents? I think so. I think we should honor and respect our parents in memory. When we talk to our children and to our grandchildren, we should look at them and say, I had good parents. Were they perfect? No. Were they great? Maybe not. But they were good because they were my parents. God wants us to prosper and have long life, but it will only come as we honor our parents. Why? Because in the home, the values are taught to men. It begins with honor and respect for mother and father. Here is where honor and respect is learned and will be followed by a young man or young woman taken into the world. If they have been taught honor and respect, they will live a life of honor and respect with their husbands and their wives, with their own children, with their jobs, with their communication with their families. And there would not be any more disdain given to the rulers or the leaders in their communities than they gave to their own parents. Because we disagree with leaders or rulers or community leaders does not give us the right to have any difference of respect and honor that we as Christians are supposed to have. I believe it all goes back to your childhood. If they've honored and respected their parents, they will honor and respect the police when they pull you over. You know what's the first thing I say when they pull me over and the policeman comes? They used to come to your window. They sort of stand behind you now. But anyway, they stand behind you, and they say, and you roll down the window, and they say, "Can I see your license?" First thing I say is, "What I do?" Usually. Now, here's the point. You tell me what I did. I respect the fact that you're the police and you had something on me. You wouldn't be pulling me if you did not know that I did something. Tell me what I did. I respect you enough to you tell me what I did. And I'm not going to argue with them. How many people argue with police when they pull them? You know what I call them? Dumb. You don't argue with police over. But people will do that. And I personally believe it's because they have not been taught honor and respect. Are there times when it is wrong what their police are doing? Yes. And let me give you a case. We went to Myrtle Beach. My wife had just had surgery. This was a while back. And she was having times where she had to get to the bathroom now. I don't mean in 5 minutes. I mean now. We were driving around Myrtle Beach, just looking at things, and she said, "I got to go to the bathroom now. I mean now." So I pulled up to the boulevard there, and I looked both ways, nothing coming. I pulled into this lane and then went to this lane, and she said, "There's a McDonald's." I pulled in this lane and then turned into McDonald's. No cars coming. I was pulled into parking lot at McDonald's. The policeman comes back. He's got his hand on his pistol, and the woman on this side's got her hand on her pistol, and they say, "Keep your hands down. Don't move." Okay. "But my wife needs to go to the restroom." "Don't talk to us right now." They came up to the window and they said, "Give us your license and be careful as you reach for your license." I really look like a criminal, don't I? And so my wife got it, and she brought it out and gave it to him. I said, "Sir, let me just tell you this. I said, I appreciate the fact that we did something, and that's cool, but I want you to know something. My wife has got to get to the bathroom. She just had surgery, and she has times where, and this is an emergency, or you're going to be helping me clean up a mess here, and I'm sorry, but can you please let her go into the bathroom?" He said, "Just a minute." He went and talked to the lady, and the lady said, "I can understand that." So the lady policeman said, "You can go in." And she escorted my wife into McDonald's to go to the bathroom. He's still standing there with the pistol in his hand, not out of his holster, but in his hand. Scared to death we're going to do something. People say, they only do it to certain people. Well, let me tell you, they do it all the time. And I had to sit there and go, okay. Just as long as I show honor and respect to this policeman, he's going to allow us to do what we need to do. And he did. You know what I was pulled for? Switching lanes. In the state of South Carolina, he said, if you switch lanes and you don't put on your blinker, you get a ticket. I said, you've never been to North Carolina. Everybody does switches lanes without putting their blinker on. Go on that interstate out there. But anyway, I said, okay, sir. I said, I had an emergency. So he said, let me. And I said, I tried to show him respect, although I didn't understand that one. And we were in an emergency situation, and there was no traffic on the road. It was like 10 o'clock at night. Nobody was out there. Long story, he let us go. But I really believe the reason he let us go is because we honored and respected his position, not because he was right, not because he pulled us for the right thing, not because I didn't believe he was sitting there showing off for that woman, but because he had a position that God had given him, and that was a policeman. I honored and respected that. We are called to honor and respect those that lead us. But it will begin only when we learn how to honor and respect our parents. When a child's told to do something, they should think, who just told me that? By the way, the word honor here, in thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Do you know what the word honor, it comes from in the Hebrew? A derivative that means weight it high. Weight it high. Which means give great weight to it. Give great weight to my parents. Whenever a child, your mother says, go out and do this, or I want you to do this, the first thing I do is, I think most of us do, what do I want to do? But the second thing is, I better give more weight to what my mama says than what I want. The weightedness of my parents is what this is talking about. When I weight my parents' position, when I weight what my parents believe and think, when I weight it so much that I give it more weight than what my friends say, what the television says, or what anybody says, I weight what my parents are thinking and saying more than anything in my life. Why? Because it's written in stone I'm supposed to do this. It's not an option. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. Proverbs 6:20. Listen at this. My son, this was Solomon writing this for his son based on what God had given him. But listen, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck, and when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, that this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are a way to life. But also there are homes where there is no love or forgiveness. These homes, the kids have no respect for their parents as well. They leave home with a bitterness to authority. They cannot respect God, their heavenly father, if they hate their earthly fathers. There are two wrong parents. There are two wrong ways we apply this truth that God gave us, this commandment. The one is that we don't do it in love. You must expect your children to respect and honor you, but you do it in love. There is nothing that you do that is done out of anger or bitterness. There is nothing that you do that is done in a demand because you feel disrespected. You do it in love because one day you don't want them walking out having bitterness for all authority. You want them to be successful. You want them to find life. And it says, in your parents' teachings are going to be life. I know there are some here this morning that your parents were hard on you. I want you to know, if you have not got resolution on that this morning, I hope that you would this morning. I hope that you would get to a point that you would release that and realize that your parents might not have done it right, but you need to ask God to forgive you of not honoring them, even though they probably in certain ways didn't deserve it, lest you become a victim to your own resentment. There are, the other is that whenever you give discipline, you give it in God's wisdom. There are times to give discipline, and there are other times. I remember a young man who was a teacher with me at Crescent Academy, and we would talk, and he said one evening he was sitting at the table with me and my wife, and my wife mentioned something, and he said, "Listen, I've been in every woman's bathroom in the Triangle area, every one of them." We just sort of looked at him. He said, "Because when I was young, my mother took no moment that she wouldn't yank me up and take me to the women's bathroom and give me a little lesson in the woman's bathroom." I think that our discipline, when there's disrespect, should be done in love and also wisdom. How we do it, so that we don't make them bitter, but yet we let them know, "I'm not your friend, I'm your parent." And I've heard, do you know how many times I've read that and seen that and heard that? "I'm a friend with my children." God didn't call you to be a friend with your children. He called you to be a parent. One who loves and uses wisdom and follows the word of God, that shows the child that you respect God, that you respect his word, and also shows that you respect him as your father. I hear me, church. I don't believe we can tell our children to respect us if we turn around as parents and do not respect our leaders. You come home from work and you say, "I could kill my boss. You know what he's making me do now? And children, you better honor and respect me." Now, does that work? And yet somehow we justify that. That's called a lack of wisdom. But hear me. The scripture says that it will become a lamp and the teaching a light for correction and instruction in a way to life. Do you know how many people I've seen that are walking zombies? I'm amazed at all the media and all the movies about zombies. Have you seen all that stuff? War Z, all this and stuff. I watch it a few minutes and I go, "This is dumb." But a lot of people love it. They're really into it. So the question is, why is there? And I believe because there are so many people that look like those zombies. Have you noticed? You've been to the mall lately. There's a few zombies out there. They're not living life. Life is not in them. They are living as if they are a prisoner to something. And I believe life is the key. In the commandment that God has given us, that your days may be long on the earth. Now, I want you to know something. What does that mean? God's going to sit there and he's going to give you longer life because you honored and respected your parents? Yes and no. It also means the practical. If you show disrespect, you're not going to live long anyway. You go through life disrespecting your family, you're not going to live long anyway. You go through life and you disrespect your boss, you're not going to stay there very long. You go through life and you disrespect your leaders, you're not going to stay there very long. The practical is, you cannot go through life disrespecting and dishonoring people and their positions and their leadership and everything that God has given them and know His life flowing through you. And if that life is not flowing through you, then death is flowing through you. Now, I say that to say this. How many of you ever quote your parents in something they always said when you were growing up? My wife does. Oh, Lord. Her team won yesterday and my team lost. And she looked at me and she said, "The sun don't shine on every dog every day." That comes straight from her mama, and she quotes it all the time. She has a high, high respect for her mama. And it tends to show in her respect for me. It tends to show a respect for others in her family. It shows a respect for people that were her bosses. She meets her bosses nowadays. I want you to know something. She meets her bosses nowadays, and she goes, "Wow, hey, how are you doing?" I haven't met anybody that was once her boss, where she was 40 years at IBM. How do you stay 40 years at IBM if you don't have respect and honor for your leaders and your bosses? You can't stay there that long. Okay, so I come to this. So where are we this morning? If learning honor and respect as a child is how you gain life, can you turn it around when you did not honor and respect your parents in the past, and now you're an older person? Maybe they're gone. Maybe they're still here. How do you do it? This is my opinion. You honor and respect them now. You first ask God to forgive you for not honoring and respecting your parents. And if they're still alive, you go to them and say, "I love you." And they're going to look at you and say, "What's wrong with you?" And you're going to say, "I love you because God gave me you." If they're not alive, you ask God to forgive you for not respecting and honoring your parents. And from this point, you're going to honor and respect the fact that they were your parents. And God will receive that forgiveness. And He will begin to build within you a new honor and respect. And your life will be longer on the face of the earth. And also, you will be blessed. This is a key. This is a key. And I see it in so many people's lives. That they've missed it and they're struggling. And America can be saved, as you can be saved, as your family can be saved, but only when we come to honor God, honor His mandates, and honor and respect who He's called to be your leader. I know many a wife that has said, "It has been tough throughout my life to honor and respect my husband." I've met many men who said, "It's been really tough to honor and respect my wife. But because God gave her or him to me, I will honor and respect them." And I promise you, God will bless you. Bless your home, bless your family, and make it beautiful and right. We're going to have prayer, and when we have prayer, I want you just to analyze your relationship with your parents.